in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he won't fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his
there mouth. It is. We all about good morning to...
I asked him if he was ready.
Hello.
That's on you.
Yeah, but...
That's on you, no, Josh.
I get a there should be 3 seconds, right, Gabe?
Yep, absolutely.
So you want him to say, are you ready, big guy? And then you want him to hit the dump button, which basically blocks everything out for 3 seconds. And then it's time to go.
Well, in TV, Jen, don't they go 3, 2, 1?
Well, they don't say the numbers, but yes.
See? I watched the Brady Bunch.
Wow. How you doing, big guy? I heard there's some personal news in your world.
Yeah, I'm going to need surgery on my elbow. My fault, being an idiot, stupid, take complete responsibility.
Okay, this is what I like to hear.
I was going
to
say, that's a first.
That's a second. But yeah. Yeah, but now we're in the frustrating stage because I know I have
now
to have it.
We're now we're in the frustrating stage?
Oh, yeah.
You've been self-diagnosing for a month and a half.
Self-diagnosing yourself.
Yeah, but I finally figured it out. I could go in at 10:30 today and just say, all right, scope it. It's torn cartilage on the outside and inside a little bit. No, so I'm just telling you, Gabe. But all the hoops you got to run through to stick it to the mon... is a bunch of garbage.
What, are we Jamaican now? What just happened here?
Hold on. I had the exact same thing in my knee in 1993, okay? I had torn cartilage in my knee, but I still played. And the only time it hurt like a mother was when my heel went back to my butt. So when you get tackled and it does that... then it screams. My elbow is the exact same feeling. It's the exact same thing. Same thing. We got to 93. We were playing Dallas in the playoffs. And that happened. And I couldn't go anymore. It happened to me like once a game. And it got to the point where I just can't do it anymore. It's screaming. Same thing with my elbow. But here's the problem. I don't want to have it done down here. Okay.
Well, first of all, how do we know that this? I understand all those things that you just laid out for us, but you've laid out at least two other things that this was before you've arrived on this. Why suddenly now am I believing that this is the correct diagnosis?
Because I went, I've been treating it, ice, stem, and rest, right? And then I try to go back into the weight room and I'd be like, ah, man, this thing still's not ready. So, Monday, I was without pain. No pain. Nothing. Went in. Gabe, you know how much 135 is on the bench, right?
Yep. Just a plate on each side.
I mean, I could probably do that 120 times, right?
At least, yeah. You're doing that with like one arm, I'm assuming.
Did it for 10, and the thing pinches, and it screams, and I went from being no pain back down to about 70%. Exact same feeling in my knee. Here's the problem, okay? I could go in, what time's the show in? 10 o'clock?
Eastern, yes.
I could be at surgery by 11, out by probably 12:30. But here's the problem. I don't want to have it done here. And Jen, you know this. In order to get an MRI, you have to have your general physician get you
a referral,
a ortho who's got to set up an MRI.
Right.
Okay? So the problem is, I don't want an ortho down here. I want one back home. I don't want to come back home. The doctor, I don't believe, can order an MRI in Florida.
Yeah, your point is well taken, Chu. It's not a one-shot deal. You can't just come back to Wisconsin for a couple of days, knock out the general practitioner. What do they call those? Your primary physician.
Primary care.
You can't do that. And then they have to write a referral for the ortho, and then you go to the ortho, and the ortho checks it out themselves, and then they order the MRI, and then you go have the MRI, and then they go, oh, it is what you thought it was. I understand your frustration, but this is how it is now, man.
Like, it's stupid.
We can pound our fists, we can scream about it, but this is how it works now. And if you want the insurance to cover it, you got to go through those steps.
So this is what I'm proposing. Okay? I got the doctor. If it is exactly what I say, right, And we bypass the MRI. We bypass everything. And because back in the day, they used to do exploratory surgery where there were no MRIs. They just cut you open or MRI and then fix it. Because I know exactly what it is. So if it's not what I is and you have to do more, I'll cover everything. I'll sign waivers, whatever.
I mean,
if it is exactly what I is and I bypass all the MRIs, then you handle it. You cover all the cost.
I don't think anyone is signing on for that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to cover the cost no matter what.
But it's such a waste of flipping time. It
sure.
is a waste of time.
But that is the way it works. It's kind of like with your automobile now. You know, I just got a letter in the mail saying that my registration is due.
Sure.
But first,
Emissions test,
right?
Yeah.
They have self-emissions kiosks now.
What?
Yeah.
What? Where?
I did that on Friday. There's one on Brown Deer Road.
What?
And there's one down on, I believe, 27th and Oak Creek.
Holy crap, this is a PSA.
Yeah.
This is a game changer.
Yeah. Literally found this out on Friday, did it Friday night, because my license also up, so I had to do that, been busy, haven't been able to schedule one, and just a quick little Google search, like, I think it's starting in October, they opened up these two little places.
Is this the most significant contribution to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Gabe has ever made?
I believe it is.
Chewy can't come up with a better one.
I mean,
yeah.
Gabe drops a lot of knowledge, but telling us that there is now a self-service emissions test in our area, not just like far away and we can just pine for it, here.
Yeah.
Do you know how long I have sat in lines for emission tests in my town? I have gone to other towns where the emissions test line is, you know, historically shorter just to avoid sitting. And I think I've told you guys this. Maybe I haven't told the loyal listeners. I have done the emissions test sit where I have sat in the line and then they have come to me and been like, hey, we're not going to have enough time to get to you today. Can you come back tomorrow? I'm like, bleep, I've been sitting here for an hour already. What do you mean now you know that you're not going to have enough time? Couldn't you have done the math when we all first lined up? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Yep, you're out.
Can I ask you guys a question? Have you ever failed an emissions test?
No.
I have not.
For someone who I know that's been in the auto industry for the last 40 years, she says it is the biggest scam on the face of the
earth. I thought you said she failed one.
No, it's so stupid.
Well, I don't understand what you mean. It's stupid. You don't have to pay for it.
It's just another form of tax. Yeah. Oh, someone's paying for it. Trust me. Someone is paying for it, Jen. It's not free.
Well, if you've been following the national government the last week or so, there's a lot of things that we're paying for.
So the only issue with this, because a lot of times with the emissions test, then you can just, you know, renew your registration right at the place. So when I went, it was supposed to close down at 6. I was able to do my emissions test. There was nobody inside to go in and like renew my sticker, so I still had to do that online. But still, I was able to. It took me 2 minutes and 40 seconds, I think, is what it said on the sheet to do my own emissions test.
Gabe, do you take the cord and hook it into your car?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's easy to do. We have a scanner that, you know, obviously, if the light does go off, we have a scanner that we can plug in and it'll tell us exactly what the problem is.
This is monumental. I don't want to understate the significance of this information that Gabe has passed on to us. I'm going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Did you know that we, Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin, have self-service emissions tests now? I don't think a lot of people know that. It certainly didn't say it on the sheets. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't say,
go to one of these two places.
You know, to save you time and frustration, here's a self-service option. Although it doesn't surprise me, Chew, because everything is self-service now.
Hold on. Jen, would you like a self-service gasoline service where they come to your house once every 4 days, once every week, and fill your car up for you for a little bit of a charge?
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, Jen was signing up for this before you finished your sentence.
We have that at the lake. We just send an email out to a guy.
Oh, with
the
boats.
And he comes by and fills your boat and your jet skis right up.
That's amazing. And to bring it full circle, because we were talking about your surgery, would you do a self-service surgery?
Because I'm old.
You already know that answer. No, you wouldn't. That's not because you're old. You would have done a self-service surgery when you were 26.
I love surgeries, number one. I think they're great. No, I love surgeries because it's the only time where I get absolutely pampered. It's wonderful.
Well, that doesn't work if it's a self-service. You need the other people himself to do the servicing.
Yeah, that's true. But don't you love surgeries? Surgeries
no.
are wonderful.
No. No. I have to take a pill to get into the through the doors to get to the waiting room to get to the hospital to get like I can't, no, I'm not a big fan of the surgery. I can't imagine that many people are. I think it's daunting. I think anytime you have to go under anesthesia, again,
it's the first time I've heard somebody say, "Yeah, surgery, sign me up. I love it."
Oh, they give you a warm blend. It's lush. They give you some, you know, they give you an IV with some juice in it, which is always nice. I don't know. I don't mind them. I've had one. I've had about four or five of them.
So I want to make sure I understand your proposal. Your proposal is if they cut you open and it is what you said it was.
Yes.
Before the mandatory MRI, you think you know what your injury is.
I know.
They should cover the cost. They should comp the surgery.
Because he's saving them time.
Or comp the MRI or something. All right, let me ask you guys. Do you guys believe me when I say I know what it is?
I think you know your body, and I think you played a long time.
Chewy, I have believed you every step of the way, and I have been wrong every step of the way.
What do you mean?
Well, oh, it's just this. I can do this, and then it's going to be fine. Oh, I just need to do the needling, and then I'm going to be fine. Oh, I know exactly what I need to do to get back into the weight room.
The pinch is the giveaway, though, Gabe. The pinch is the giveaway. Because if it was a tendon, there would be something I can't do. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
There would be something like the ulnar, the
UCL.
Tommy John thing.
The UCL.
There's something you can't do. I can do everything with my fingers, forearm, but as soon as I do this, see what I'm, see?
Yeah.
The thing.
Have you seen the
weight
room?
As soon as I do that, there is a pinch, and it goes back to like 80%, and I can't extend it. I know what the hell it is.
So you think you've got torn cartilage in there?
Yeah.
And it's
totally.
Clicking. It's like
it pinches. It pinches. It's the exact same feeling I had in Dallas. Yeah.
So I had that in my knee. If you have a torn cartilage, torn meniscus, and the meniscus
same
will
thing.
Get stuck on itself, and you'd have to wait for it to release. And in that moment, you'd be like, we're back.
Yeah.
I just have one request.
What?
Can you get this done as soon as possible?
No, I got to wait till like May now.
May?
Yes.
Oh, man.
You've been a grouchy old man.
I know.
Because you haven't been able to work out.
And this was December.
Yeah, for the last six weeks.
I feel like a piece of used bubble gum. That's what I feel like.
Explain.
I'm doughy. My boobs are sagging. My arms have shrunk. It's like, this is terrible. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm hooking the TENS unit up to my breast.
Oh, my God. And you're just going to have a pop, 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 with the electrocurrent.
Yep. Yes.
And this is right before beach season. You know, it's going to be getting warm down there.
I'm all right, though, because for me, for a non-NARP, it's a 4 to 6 weeks deal. For a NARP, it's a 3 month deal.
Oh my goodness, we got a lot of reaction rolling in, guys.
Here's the problem, bud. Like 4 to 6 weeks when you're like, you know, in your 30s, like you're not 32 anymore, bud.
It's four to six. They will be in there for about, God, they'll be in there for a half hour. It will not be very long.
So let me just get to some of this reaction, guys, because there's a lot of stuff popping this morning on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. First of all, Jerry says, my wife and I are both in Chewy's court on this one. When it comes to surgeries, we have no fear and actually enjoy it.
Yes.
Crazy town. Ryan from Iguanago wants to know if you have a surgery punch card. Maybe you get the 10th one free.
Come with the captain's hat.
Yeah, they're running a special. Emissions and a scope.
Frankie says, bleep, no, I didn't know this. I've been going on a year not having my emissions done because of the hassle of finding a place. This is a game changer. Thank you, Gabe. Billy says, I failed an emissions test once in my life.
What?
It was right after I had a new alternator put in. They told me to go out and drive for 100 miles, come back, and then I passed. And speaking of the self-service emissions test that Gabe just informed us of, Chef Ed says, yeah, that's great, but it's still not as informative as him telling us that Cleveland is not trading Myles Garrett. Speaking of that, we are going to talk about the update on that. Adam Schefter joining the Pat McAfee Show yesterday and had information about Myles Garrett and his destination. Stick around.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for that ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. And that reason, I think, is the team that Dean Dean the Dancing Machine has put together. Whether you're going into Greenfield, whether you're going to Brookfield, whether you're going to Burlington, you're going to find a helpful team that is going to take that dream ring and turn it into reality. Maybe you have an idea of what you want that ring to look like. I kind of did, but the team gave me some options, helped walk me through the process before I eventually picked the right ring for my wife. But maybe you don't have an idea. Check out our Pinterest board. Take a look on social media. If there's any ideas on there, bring those in with you. And that helpful team of the Jewelry Center always going to point you in that right direction. Whether you're looking for a naturally grown diamond, a lab-grown diamond, they have all of that at the Jewelry Center. Again, check them out. Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Or shop the Jewelry Center online. ShopTJC.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Adam Schefter joining us in just a few moments. Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday talking about Myles Garrett. We will talk to Adam about what he said when he joins us in about five. But before we get to that, I feel like there's a lot of excitement, anticipation, hopefulness. Hell, I'll even go as far as like, there's a demand from Packers fans right now that they want something to happen, Gabe. I don't know if they care precisely who it is that the Packers go out and get, but they want Brian Gutekunst and company to go get somebody. Maybe it's Devontae. Maybe it's Max Crosby. Maybe it's Myles Garrett. Maybe it's Khalil Mack. Maybe it's T. Higgins. I mean, the list goes on and on of names that we have heard that could benefit, could improve the Packers on either side of the ball. Do you feel as strongly as I have seen some Packers fans feel, Gabe, which is they'll be disappointed if the Packers don't make a deal somewhere in the offseason?
I think that's fair. Because if you're talking about, and I know Jason's mentioned when Gutekunst mentioned urgency, maybe he wasn't talking about himself, but when you've thrown that word out there in a press conference and there are clear and obvious holes on your team that the draft isn't going to be able to solve. Maybe it solves it for 2026, 2027, but you know, drafting in the mid-20s in every round, probably not going to be, oh, we're going to get that pass rusher that we need. Oh, we're going to get that number one wide receiver that we need. So when those are potentially options out there and you hear the names that are out there, whether it's wide receiver, whether it's pass rusher, yeah, I think it's fair if the Packers don't add, you know, from an external free agent, make a big trade. I think that's fair to say that that would be disappointing because then you're just kind of back at where you are. Like you're going to be the youngest team in the league again.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Gabe. A lot of GMs, and Ron never had this problem, really. A lot of GMs can't admit when they're wrong. They can't admit when they're wrong. And bringing Myles Garrett in would essentially say, you're wrong on Lucas Van Ness. You screwed up. You know, that's why I love Ron so much. Ron went out and got Reggie. He knew we needed it. And then, like with T-Buck, you know, a lot of these GMs hold on to their draft picks maybe a year or two too long. He got rid of him right away. He knew and moved on. So, Goody, what, do you agree with me? If he did do this, he would people would love it, but that he would be admitting that he was wrong with Lucas Van Ness.
So the only thing I'll say about that, Chu, is we know that he's not going to have 100% hit rate. We know that there are going to be times he misses on guys. We are going. We know that there are times when even the relative athletic, is it relative athletic score?
Mm-hmm.
Relative, okay. Sometimes that is going to steer you in the wrong direction. It's all well and good to be athletic. Sometimes those guys can't play football at the next level. And I think it's sort of built in that there are going to be mistakes made in the draft. Now, is it more egregious, Gabe, when it's a higher pick? You want to hit on those a little bit more frequently? Sure. But I guess I sort of feel like if you're a GM, you're going, it's like a baseball player. I'm going to have an at bat and I'm going to strike out sometimes, and that's okay.
But I agree with Chu, though, that moving on quickly is the sign of a really good GM. And I'm not, I mean, look, if I don't think Goody would look at it as, oh, I missed on Van Ness. I think Goody would look at it as, hey, if Myles Garrett's actually available, let's go get a future Hall of Famer, somebody who can just really transform what our defense looks like. Let's go get that generational player because we can. If Lucas Van Ness was a hit in a Pro Bowler and you could still go get Myles Garrett, you'd do it because he's the best in the league. He's the best of a generation at what he does.
And, Chu, you know what's crazy? We spent a lot of time talking about the potential free agents. We spent a lot of time talking about trade options. But most of those conversations have been about pass rush or wide receiver. Devontae Adams, T. Higgins, obviously, on that side of the ledger. We haven't talked at all about cornerback. We haven't talked at all about another position of need for the Green Bay Packers. So I feel like a lot of people are focusing on, defensive ends, wide receivers. If Goody went out and got a free agent corner or traded for a corner, would that check the box that we are talking about here, or would that feel like a consolation prize?
That's a tough one. Because I think DN and cornerback go hand in hand when it comes to importance. But right now, I would have to say that DN is more important than getting a corner. I think you can survive next year with the corners they have if he gets a very good DN. I don't think they can survive if he goes out and gets a Jair stud corner and rolls it back with this defensive line. I just don't think that'll work. So I'm more inclined to go get a DN. This offseason is going to tell us a lot about Goody. It's going to tell us a lot. Because if he rolls back these receivers, he's stubborn.
Yeah, because with that, if they don't go, if one of these guys doesn't get traded, like if Max Crosby isn't actually available, if Myles Garrett isn't actually available, they don't go anywhere, I have a hard time blaming Goody for, how come he didn't improve the pass rush? Well, there wasn't really a free agent. Those guys weren't actually available. You couldn't go get them. But there are going to be plenty of options to improve the wide receiver room. Like there are going to be free agents that you can go out, even marginally improve that wide receiver room.
Would like who? A Sammy Watkins?
No, but like a Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Out on Cooper Kupp yesterday.
I am out on Cooper Kupp.
But Gabe, if he doesn't go out and get a stud DN, it's just going to shine more light on how he screwed up on this DN.
Oh, 100%. But if there's nobody available, Chu, there's nobody available. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't force the Browns to trade Myles Garrett.
That's the old
Polian line. What scares you more, though? What scares you more, rolling back this D-line or rolling back this receiver group?
I mean, the D-line is worse, but again, like the answers to the D-line aren't necessarily there. The answers to wide receivers are.
And again, we aren't even talking about cornerback. So, and I'm not trying to like force a cornerback conversation here, but I am saying like we spent a lot of time talking about the D-end options. We spent a lot of time talking about wide receiver options, and we continue to ignore that is a glaring spot that they need to address as well. Whether that is Jair Alexander getting his bleep figured out, whether that is signing a free agent, whether that is addressing it in the draft, maybe all of the above. But that's another position that I think the Packers are going to need to highlight, circle, asterisk on the draft board, and as they make acquisitions this offseason. We have to take a break. We have Adam Schefter coming up next. We will talk to Adam Schefter about what he thinks the Myles Garrett situation is right after this.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times in one season. It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again. And I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
We love our time every week with Adam Schefter. He's a very busy guy, so we appreciate him spending any moments with us. Adam Schefter, where in the world are you, Carmen Sandiego?
I am in New Orleans. I am in the ESPN compound. I am here, been here all week long, and we'll be here through the game on Sunday, Jen.
Wonderful. Can we talk about Myles Garrett for a moment? I know yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show, you sort of made it bleak for fan bases and franchises that might be interested in his services. What do you believe is the latest on the Myles Garrett demanding a trade, asking for a trade situation?
Well, I bleak would be the wrong word, Jen. I think we try to be practical and realistic about where it's at. And I know it's fun to talk about a trade. And by the way, the Browns may eventually come around on trading him. But to date, they have given no inclination whatsoever that they're interested in trading Myles Garrett. So they're going to have to move off their stance before there's a trade. And I think Myles Garrett, I don't know how strong his stomach is to create chaos and to sit out and risk game checks and risk the wrath of fans. Now, I think a lot of people understand, hey, Cleveland doesn't win, hasn't won. We understand why you're frustrated, so we support you. There certainly would be a segment of fans that would be on his side, but there would be people that would be pissed off about it. And I also want to point out that I think in each of the last 3 years, we've had multiple players demand trades only to not be traded. Lamar Jackson did it as John Harbaugh was walking into a breakfast meeting to meet reporters at the owners' meetings a couple of years ago. He wound up re-signing with Baltimore. Deebo Samuel demanded a trade. He wound up re-signing with the Niners. Brandon Ayuk demanded a trade. He wound up resigning. Now, the difference is, all those guys, it was about the contract. This is not about the contract. This is about the performance. So there is a difference, and I don't know if Cleveland can make it right, but usually when teams come to players and they say, hey, I know you don't want to be here, but we're going to take care of you here. We're going to make you the highest paid defensive player in football, the highest paid non-quarterback in football. Sometimes it has a way of working out. Now, this, again, he's adamant it has nothing to do with money, and that's fine. But money sometimes solves these things, and sometimes it doesn't. And if he's prepared to sit and wait for a long period of time, then maybe eventually he'll get to force a trade to where he wants. But I don't think because he issued that trade on Monday, the Browns are waking up going, oh, boy, Myles Garrett's unhappy. Okay, let's get on the phone now, and let's see what kind of offers we get. They're not doing that.
And Adam, I've seen some of the offers, which aren't—I don't know—they're not great. Pundits throwing out a first and a third hypotheticals. The only way Cleveland's going to do this is if they break the bank, right? If they get two first-round picks for the guy, they're not going to do it for a first and a third and Lucas Van Ness. Would you agree?
The Browns have already said that they're not interested in trading him for 2 1s. Now, again, you take it for what it's worth. Maybe that's just them trying to create leverage. I'm just telling you, having spoken, they're not interested in trading him right now. They're not going to trade him. That doesn't mean they won't change their mind in a month or two, but right now they're not interested in trading him.
It would have to be before the draft, right? If they were to change their mind, it would have to happen before the draft. I know they can mitigate what the cap hit would be if they trade him post June 1, but at that point, the draft's come and gone. Then the picks you're getting are, you know, who knows what they are because it's going to be future draft picks and you don't know the draft order. This would have to be, if they were to do it, they would have to change their mind before the draft, right?
I would think that is an artificial deadline for them to change their mind. Again, I think when Khalil Mack got traded, he got traded that summer when he had demanded it. It went on, and again, by the way, the Raiders, we're not trading him. And 4, 5, 6 months later, whenever it was, I think it was in August, he was traded. So, like, yes, the draft is one artificial deadline, but it is not an absolute because, by the way, we could come up with the draft as a deadline for the Browns and their picks, but then they say, we're not trading him. They hold to that position. Myles Garrett doesn't show at training camp. He's issuing statements every day ripping the team. That's what I'm saying. How strong is his stomach? How much chaos is he willing to create? How long is he willing to sit to prove his point? Because I think it might take something like that to get them to the point where maybe it's in August, right before the start of the season, that they say, we can't deal with this anymore. We're trading him in August, right? Like, yes, the draft is one artificial deadline, but that's not a hard and fast deadline, and it could go on longer than that.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam, we were just talking about GMs. We were talking about their hit rates. Paul Hembakidis, Hembo, obviously, as we know him, he sends out every year around the draft success rates at various positions. And, you know, he bases it on whether or not they get a second contract with the team that drafted them. And it seems like it's about 50%. It seems like it's about 50% at most positions. How do GMs grade themselves? And I'm sure there's a spectrum there. But we were talking about Brian Gutekunst, and he hasn't hit on every draft pick, although Gabe reminds us that the roster right now is almost completely constructed with draft picks for the Green Bay Packers. They are a draft and develop team. How, in your experience with general managers, do they grade each draft? Are they about a 50%? If they can hit on 50%, that feels successful to them. Does it need to be higher than that? What is your understanding of how they look at that?
Well, before I answer that, Jen, I just looked. Khalil Mack was traded September 1st, 2018. September 1st. I'm looking here. Chicago Bears reached a record-setting six-year, $141 million extension with Khalil Mack on Saturday. A source told somebody named ESPN's Adam Schefter. So that was September 1st, 2018 when he was traded. Now, again, we're not looking at September 1st for Myles Garrett, but you just don't know how it's going to play out. As for GMs grading themselves, look, there's not a GM in the league. Like, Howie Roseman, in my mind, is as good a GM as there is in the league. And at one point in time, he took Jalen Reagor ahead of Justin Jefferson. So, like, they're human. Every one of them makes mistakes. The key is that they make more hits, they have more hits than they do misses. And Brian Gutekunst has had more hits than misses, and Howie Roseman's had more hits than misses. And there's not a specific formula or numerical formula that you apply that says a GM is or isn't doing a good job. You know what it is? It's the one loss record of that team on a year-to-year basis. That's what tells you whether or not the GM is doing a good job. That the win percentage, not the hit percentage, because there are various ways to build teams, either through the draft, through trades, through waivers, through signing undrafted free agents. Like, there are a lot of ways. And some people excel in certain areas. Others are stronger in other areas. But I just think you look at the way that that team's performed. And by the way, we all can look at it. And you can just say, like, yeah, that team's got a pretty good roster. They've hit on a lot of picks. Nobody. It's on every pick. Nobody, not even close.
Adam, I saw that Andy Reid said he's going to coach for at least one more season. You think he's tired? Because if he wins this game, he's kind of within reach of Belichick, especially with Mahomes and all the years he has left. You think he needs a reset? I mean, he's been head coach for a long time now, and it's a grind. Do you believe him there?
What? Oh, my God. Oh, first of all, and not to diminish Andy Reid's job, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah.
He makes $20 million a year, roughly. He's coaching Patrick Mahomes. He's got great coordinators in Matt Nagy and Steve Spagnuolo. He can delegate as much as he wants, and it allows him to kind of run Chiefs Kingdom, run the team the way he wants, the way he knows how, is one of the greatest coaches ever. And maybe he's not getting in the office. I don't know this, but maybe he's not getting in the office at 5 a.m. the way he used to. Maybe he could stroll in at a more humane hour. Maybe he leaves a little earlier. And he knows he's done this long enough. He knows how to pace himself. But and at some point, it will be enough for him. But as long as you're coaching that quarterback on that team with that salary, with those quarterbacks, like, why would you not take that as long as you could until you felt like you couldn't do it anymore? And I don't think he's slowing down.
And you got the State Farm commercials. Fumble Rooski. Like, come on. He's living the good life.
No, but I know. But I look at Spagnuolo, and I'm like, God, he should have probably got. Did he get interviews for a head coaching job? Or is it like, hey, I'm going to turn this over to you in two years? So just hang tight. That happens. No? I mean, I started talking about retiring after my fifth year. I'm like, every training camp, I'm like, this sucks. I'm out of here. This is my last year.
And yeah, course, but you were getting hit. True. Andy's not getting hit, man.
Good point. It's fair.
Wait, well, we have breaking news that just came in.
Oh.
You ready?
Yep. Andy Reid retired?
Hold on. I got bubbles on this text. This is big news.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the second part of it. I want to be able to tell the full story.
Should we just talk amongst ourselves?
Well, I do love that Adam was like, I have breaking news. And Chewy was like, I'll take care of it. Let me handle it.
My wife's iPad has been found. She left it at the airport yesterday, flying back to Newark, New Jersey.
Huge news here on Jet Game and Chewy. Exclusively. That's the only place you can find that type of news.
I just got a text. They found my iPad. Like, I was dealing with an hysterical wife yesterday. She was in New Orleans with me, and basically she's like, I left my iPad on the plane. So flying down here Sunday, not without getting personal, my wife locked herself out of her iPhone, and she's a type 1 diabetic and could not get like the meter readings that she needed. 8 hours, we got to New Orleans and spent our first night in New Orleans with her on the phone with Apple support for over 2 hours trying to get her phone unlocked because she couldn't remember any code. I don't know what's going on here. I may have to turn her in for a younger model here at some point.
Hold on, Adam.
Protect our guy.
Okay.
Protect our guy.
He knows not what he says.
Was part of it your fault, though? Because it would have been my fault, for sure. Well,
it's always my fault. It's always my fault. It's my fault. It was my fault you left it, of course. Always my fault, right?
Adam.
Always your fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once again, great stuff from you. And I would be remiss if I did not say what a great job Dylan is doing yet again on her coverage down there at the Super Bowl. You must be so proud watching her work.
Well, Jim, it was her third, I think it was her third media night on Monday night, and she's bouncing around from stage to stage, and she texted last night. She was all excited that she got done. She was up next to Travis Kelce, and she asked Travis Kelce his favorite Taylor Swift album or song, or after forgetting. And she's like, was that a dumb question? I'm like, no, it's a great question. Well, long story, she was beating herself up over it as interviewers sometimes can. Jim, we know how this works. And all of a sudden, she texted me something last night that they played her question in exchange with Travis Kelce on TMZ last night.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, Dylan. Way to give the people what they want, right?
The moral of the story is no question is a dumb question. There you go, Dylan.
Adam, we appreciate you. I hope you and your family have a wonderful time in New Orleans. I hope we get a good game. That's really all I'm rooting for, man. I just want a good game. You know, not a one-sided affair and where you're like, okay, I'm out. Watching for the commercials and the halftime show at this point.
There you go. That's it should be a good matchup. There's a lot on the line.
Yep.
The most.
There is.
It's one night. Right.
You get back to your text messages. You get back to you tell your wife.
Jen, hopefully there's not too many fumble rooskies on Sunday.
Fumble rooskie. That's fun to say, right? Like it's not just me. Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, fumble rooskie. It's as fun to say cheeseburgers already eat for Andy.
Exactly.
So like, he's having a lot of fun.
All right. Adam, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Adam Schefter and our conversations with him each and every Wednesday brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
All right, this is your cue to call. Get your dialing fingers ready. We are playing Superb Owl Squares right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text Line. And your way to play Superb Owl Squares with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Right after this,
you are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff
someone else.
Earlier.
From one white stiff to another, I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Lines are lighting up. To play Superb Owl Squares here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let me just find the number one. Sam and Kenosha, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you ready to play Superb Owl Squares?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, all you got to do is answer a question correctly. You get entered into the Superb Owl Squares board. You'll have 10 squares on that board. They'll be randomly assigned, and the numbers randomly assigned after we get everybody in. Your question to kick today off. What is the largest upset in Super Bowl history? Largest upset in terms of point spread in Super Bowl history.
Was that the Broncos over the Packers?
It was not.
Woo-hoo! Oh, you are lucky.
I knew Chewy thought it was. I knew it. I'm watching his face when he thinks it's him. The Jets
beat the Colts as an 18-point underdog, famously in Super Bowl III, when Willie Joe guaranteed the Jets would win.
You're lucky.
You think I was going to read that question?
Come on.
If it was you?
I was like, oh, Chewy.
You weren't looking at the camera, were you? I mean, I used the wrong finger, but I did give you the finger.
Well, it turns out it was the wrong finger because you didn't deserve it. Jared in Milwaukee, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you ready to play Superb Owl Squares?
Definitely ready.
All right. Who is the most recent defensive player to win Super Bowl MVP? Most recent defensive player to win Super Bowl MVP.
Von Miller.
Von Miller is correct. Super Bowl 50 against the Carolina Panthers.
I felt a little searchy to me. Josh, you and I made eye contact. That felt a little searchy. Internet sleuthy.
There was a Seattle Seahawk, a no-name guy that won it, right?
That was Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. Oh, was it him? The guy who picked the pass off?
I believe so. I believe he was the... Oh, well, Malcolm Butler against the Seahawks. I think their linebacker the year they won.
Yeah.
Kind of
a Larry Brown deal.
Remember, you have another option, another chance to win Superb Owl Squares when we play at 8:45, so in about an hour. We got a lot of questions here from Hembo this year, man. These are good questions.
Well, I'm glad we're getting them earlier this year, because there were times last year where
that was tough.
Nerve-wracking.
Like, you thought we were going to run out of questions again?
Well, we did.
Again?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're off to a good start. There's still plenty of opportunities for people to get a lot of questions wrong. You know, we're only halfway through.
True. Chewy, did you know both of those? No, you did not.
He obviously did not.
Won it. No, hold on. But I thought the guy from Seattle won it more recently.
Wait, so you Olford?
I knew Von Miller won it, but I thought the Seattle game was more recent, and I forgot the linebacker's name. So, speaking of Andy Reid, though, did you guys know he doesn't swear?
No.
Yeah, that's
you didn't
son of
know
a buck.
That? Jeepers Crow.
I didn't know Jeepers Crow.
Lord love a duck.
Lord love a duck.
Yeah.
When which of these
up,
Andy
Lord
Reed,
love a duck?
Which of these like, Andy Reid phrases is your favorite?
Well, Chewy's. Well, Chewy, you've said "son of a buck" enough where it's leaked its way into my into things that I say now.
Yeah.
Around the house.
Can we put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll in honor of Andy Reid?
See, everyone, there's like stages of it though, Jen. Like "Lord love a duck" happens when you're wide open to drop a ball. "Lord love a duck." Son of a buck is like you've done the wrong thing.
Okay, and what was
the
other
wrong
one?
Assignment? Son of a buck. Jeepers Crow is jumping off sides. Jeepers Crow.
I think we need to put this poll out there. These are Andy Reidisms.
Yes.
I wouldn't have known about this if it weren't for Chew.
Yeah.
I do say God bless America.
Yeah, I do that one a lot.
That's
you have another
one? No, that's good and clean.
Well, and again.
Lord love a duck is solid.
I don't even understand what it means.
Yeah, the Lord loves everyone, even a duck.
Even ducks.
Which is what you're acting like right now when you jump off sides.
Yes.
All right, we have to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. We will, of course, play Superb Owl Squares, and we will continue having the conversation about what the Green Bay Packers should do. Plus, did I hear the Bucks might be in the market? For Kyle Kuzma? Is that what I heard, Gabe?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to talk about it. Joshy, was that on purpose?
No, I wish it was.
Can we get the weed whacker ready, though? I love that thing.
I said I wasn't going to talk.
All right. Jed gave it to me, rolls on right after this. Stick around.